Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So we are reaching the end of a roller coaster ride of a political week. And if you are not soaked from the rain, you are probably soaked in political scandal and mud and feel like taking a shower. Remember when Rick Lazio officially dropped out of the race for governor way back when? That was Monday. Already weary of the controversy in the California governor's race over Meg Whitman's housekeeper? That broke yesterday. And of course, there's the ongoing issue of Carl Paladino versus Fred Dicker versus the truth. Post reporter Dicker got into a shouting match with our Republican gubernatorial candidate over Paladino's accusations that Andrew Cuomo had an extramarital affair. Paladino now says, in case you haven't heard it yet, that he never had any evidence to back up that accusation, which he says he also never made. We're not going to linger on that story on air, but there's lots going on online at our new politics site. It's freecountry.org. You can see the Paladino versus Dicker video there. Get the update and add your thoughts. Meanwhile, tucked into the back of the Washington Post classified section yesterday was or might have been this ad. Wanted. One trusted advisor. Experience building bridges a plus. Willingness to crack heads a must. Ability to go on zero sleep. No gaffes. Bonus if you get along with people from Maine. All right, we completely made that up. But the news today is that Rahm Emanuel, President Obama's chief of staff, is leaving the White House to run for mayor of Chicago. And that classified never actually ran because Emanuel's successor, at least a temporary one, has reportedly already been picked. His name is Pete Rouse, a low-profile senior advisor to Mr. Obama. This is a considerable change of pace and tone from the mile-a-minute, anything-to-win approach of Rahm Emanuel. It's an approach that many on the right think alienated Republicans and many on the left think sold out progressive ideals. We will replay in a minute the most famous clip of Rahm Emanuel's tenure as chief of staff about crisis and opportunity, but we will play it in fuller context than it's been repeated ad nauseum, which really changes its meaning. And joining us to discuss Emanuel's legacy and what a chief of staff switch might mean for the administration is Neera Tanden, chief operating officer at the Center for American Progress. That's the progressive think tank started by former Clinton chief of staff, John Podesta, who was also rumored to be in the running as Emanuel's replacement. Neera, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for asking me.
And listeners, what do you want in a chief of staff for this president? What should Obama be looking for? What does he need? Call in with your answers to that chief of staff want ad, even though we made it up. Let's say you're posting this in the classifieds or Craigslist or Monster.com, your chief of staff want ad for Barack Obama. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our politics website. It's freecountry.org. So, Neera, coming out of the 2008 election, Rahm Emanuel was seen as the guy who was going to get along with Congress, for one thing, push the Obama agenda in Congress because he came from Congress, and crack the whip behind the scenes because he has that kind of personality as the president rode the hope and change wave that he campaigned on. Is that how it's worked out over the last 2 years?
Well, Rahm actually has been mostly responsible for the legislative victories. I mean, obviously, it's a team effort, but in Washington, there's a lot of inertia, and Rahm has been the one in the White House. I worked with him directly on health care, who actually kept the ball moving, who kept pushing the hill. When you are a fierce advocate for the president's agenda on the hill and off the hill, you do gain enemies here and there, but it was always in service of the president's agenda. And I do think the legislative victory of health reform has a lot to do with Rahm Emanuel's, you know, fierce, passionate advocacy on the Hill and off the Hill to get it done. And, you know, he's been behind every single legislative accomplishment of this president.
That said, in Jonathan Alter's book, The Promise, about the first year of the Obama administration, he reveals that Emanuel literally begged the president not to do health care reform so early in his presidency. Is that surprising? Is that the sort of, you know, is that not the sort of seize the opportunity kind of thing Emanuel seemed to be getting at in his famous line, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste?
Well, I think he had been advocating with the president to focus on the economy for longer. And obviously, I think Rahm was wrong then, and the president was right to pass health care reform and work on it all throughout that first year. But I do think that that underscores an issue about Rahm, which is that he was a chief of staff. He was, and at the end of the day, he was essentially a staffer to the president. When the president made a decision, he gave his best advice, but when the president made a decision, he got whole hog behind it. And there was no one working harder to pass health reform other than the president in the on the health care bill. And so that said to me that, you know, he gives his advice, but at the end of the day, it's the president who makes the decisions, and he gets behind those decisions 110%.
Listeners, we'll go to your want ads for President Obama's new chief of staff in a minute. You know, want ads are short, so this won't take you long. Just take a few seconds, make up a quick want ad for Craigslist or whoever for the new chief of staff for President Barack Obama after Rahm Emanuel. What would that one ad say? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our politics website. It's freecountry.org. Now, to the clip. I want to play a 49-second version of this clip, Neera, because, you know, we know that Republicans have used that one line, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste, against Emanuel and against the president as a way of portraying them as radical, as having a secret agenda that they came in to change the country and change it for the worst. But here is a little bit more context. This is from November 18th, 2008, just after the election, at a Wall Street Journal CEO council in Washington, D.C.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. I think America as a whole in 1973 and 1974, not just my view, but obviously the administration, missed the opportunity to deal with the energy crisis that was before us. For a long time, our entire energy policy came down to cheap oil. This is an opportunity. What used to be long-term problems, be they in the healthcare area, energy area, education area, fiscal area, tax area, regulatory reform area, things that we had postponed for too long that were long-term are now immediate and must be dealt with. And this crisis provides the opportunity for us, as I would say, the opportunity to do things that you could not do before.
So that was pretty serious-minded. Energy and as the prime historical example, how the energy crisis of 1973 and 1974, going way back, was a missed opportunity to deal with a longer-term situation that was before the country. So talking about the financial crisis that the country was in as President Obama was taking office, saying this gives us opportunities in long-term areas like healthcare and energy and education and fiscal and tax and regulatory reform. What's left to be said about that quote?
Look, I think that the president campaigned on addressing challenges that had not gone addressed for at least a decade, if not decades. So healthcare reform, energy, immigration, and other issues. And then we had the financial crisis, and obviously we needed to deal with that in the short term and long term, meaning we needed to deal with the stimulus because we need to get the economy moving again. But we also needed to reform Wall Street and reform those underlying structures through financial regulatory reform. And so I think the president and Rahm and the White House as a whole went about the business of trying to address those structural problems. Healthcare is a structural problem. It's an area where people have deep insecurity that they will lose healthcare. Costs are going up. Financial regulatory reform. And then there are aspects of that agenda that still need to be done. You know, the issues around energy and climate are still fundamental. But I think, you know, what is amazing is that if you look at their legislative victories of this president, healthcare reform, financial regulatory reform, these are pieces of legislation that would have been unheard of in previous Congresses. I worked in the Congress in 2003, 2004. I worked in the Clinton administration. Healthcare was, you know, I was always worried that it would be impossible to pass healthcare reform because it is such a big piece of legislation. It doesn't seem so much now, but it did seem at the beginning that it was a very big big thing for this, for Congress to do, and there are big questions of whether it could get done. And so I think it is actually a tribute to both the president and Rahm that we were able to get these accomplishments. Are they everything the president has promised? No. Is there more work to be done? Yes. But I think that also means that we need to push the Congress to actually address these issues. And I think it is a testament that these large legislative victories that will actually, over the long term, improve the lives of the American people were passed, and they were passed a great deal because of Rahm Emanuel.
So as Rahm Emanuel leaves the White House, what do our listeners think the president should look for in his next chief of staff? We put on our Facebook page a challenge for people to come up with an ad starting with the words trusted advisor. So here's some of what we got. Robert on our Facebook page writes, wanted, trusted advisor, an even-tempered man or woman who can work with Democrats in Congress to accomplish the goals of the man the American people elected to fix this colossal mess. Must have all 10 fingers. Wanted, trusted advisor who can put enough positive spin on things. This is a seasonal position, fertilizer applicator's license preferred. Sheldon on Facebook, wanted, trusted advisor with basic communication skills. Must be able to convey the president's policies and ideas directly to the media, the electorate, even members of his own party, without his message being corrupted. Someone who can recapture the sense of idealism and hope from the campaign, a plus. Corey in Manhattan, you have an ad for the next chief of staff?
Yeah. First of all, I'm so glad to see Rahm Emanuel gone. I think he was a total pugnacious character that the president didn't need and derailed a lot of his the president's agenda.
What do you think he derailed? Because we were just hearing from our guest
how
he supported it
more.
And rammed it through.
Sure, I think history pushed a lot of the health care through. It was the inevitable, and the electorate has a lot more to credit than Rahm Emanuel. But I think Rahm Emanuel dropped the ball on many progressive ideas. In fact, I don't agree with how the financial regulation went down. I don't think it was tough enough. And I think Rahm Emanuel smeared the whole vision of what Obama was about. But in saying that, my ad would be very short. I would say seeking a mature, devoted, trusted advisor with people person skills. And that's what I think is missing there. I think he could have used a lot of more politeness and manners and technique than he did.
Corey, thank you for your call. So, Neera, on that last point, do you think that's naive to look for in an effective chief of staff?
No, absolutely not. I do think that it's important for someone to be able to get along with people and move the president's agenda and communicate the president's agenda well. I would say that, you know, the White House has a particular struggle, and it's a struggle that it's had for the last 2 years, and it's a problem for it going forward, which is that it has it promised a lot of things. And it ran up against opposition in Congress that would not pass those things. And then the president's supporters, instead of getting angry at Congress or Republicans, become disappointed in the president. And that is a sort of math that they have to figure out a way to get out of, because they take all the incoming for the fact that the Republicans as a whole, and your caller demonstrates this, the caller very, you know, I appreciate the anger and disappointment that progressive issues are not getting dealt with in this Congress. But the single biggest reason they are not moving forward is because Republicans have had a wall of opposition. And there are conservative Democrats who've opposed these issues as well. And all the blame and anger goes to the White House instead of going to the members of Congress who are opposing that agenda. And I think that's an unfortunate math that the administration has to struggle with, and something that I hope the next chief of staff can figure out a way to get out of.
Although with all the deals that Emanuel apparently made to get health reform through, whether it was promising particular Medicaid relief to Ben Nelson in Nebraska or whatever it was, a number of the president's appointees seem to work against the image that he had coming in of somebody who was really going to change not just policy but politics. And so when Rahm Emanuel comes in, and, you know, maybe he's just the point person and really does go right up the chain to the president himself and makes all these deals that look to people on the right like the same old weasel deal kind of politics to get things through, and look to people on the left like something less than the idealism that President Obama was supposed to represent, you know, or if you have a Larry Summers or a Tim Geithner who are connected with the Old Boy Network on Wall Street, the combination of those things has left people disillusioned on both sides. You think?
No, I appreciate that. And I think the fundamental disconnect is that the president promised a lot of things that he believed would change the country, and he promised to change Washington. But in order to get those pieces done, in order to get those issues addressed, in order to get health care reform and regulatory reform, he had to work through Congress. And it's not attractive. Believe me, I was negotiating those bills. It's not a pretty picture, but it did actually get done. And I think the idea of having legislative victories, actually making change through the legislative process, ran up against the promise of changing Washington. It's hard to do both of those things. It's hard to rack up legislative victories through the legislative process and change Washington at the same time. And I think those promises are a bit in conflict, and the next chief of staff will have to figure out how to make them work better together or come up with another message.
Wanted for the next chief of staff, Tom and Seabright, what you got?
Good morning. Looking for a trusted advisor with Main Street roots and sensibilities who identifies with the needs of the working class man more than the Wall Street tycoon, and experience as a dancer and service in foreign military not required.
Thank you very much. And from our comments page, M writes, wanted, Goldman Sachs alumni, must be willing to apply Band-Aids to a hemorrhage, shovel and stick provided. Well, she's lost her hope. JP on the comments page, wanted, trusted advisor, must photograph well, smile often, kiss babies, must speak well, but say very little, must want to help the middle class by passing legislation that is inexplicably unpopular with the very people it is meant to help, good sense of humor, willingness to relocate. And Steve on our comments page, wanted, someone who can leap Republicans and partisanship in a single bound. Well, now we know that the job is absolutely impossible, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible. I do think that the new chief of staff will have a very changed environment. If Republicans do take the House, they will actually need to show that they can lead and not just attack constantly. And I think, you know, there will be new opportunities and obviously fundamental new challenges after November. And so, you know, I think the concerns and essential frustration that people have, you know, we'll be able to see what it's like under having, you know, if Republicans retake the House, which I hope does not happen. But if it does, we'll have a changed environment.
Do you know the replacement who might just be a temporary replacement or may wind up getting the job permanently after a while? Pete Rouse. You know Rahm Emanuel and worked with him. Do you know Pete Rouse?
Yeah, I worked actually very closely with Pete in the presidential election and a lot in healthcare. And he is extremely loyal to the president. He's an excellent manager. He looks at both the short term and the long term. He will be a great chief of staff, interim or otherwise.
He's being portrayed in some of the media today as the anti-Rahm because he's so soft spoken and kind of laid back and private. Is that accurate?
I mean, they have very different personalities. What they share is a doggedness to achieve the president's agenda and a very firm understanding of the levers of Washington and how you move issues in the Congress.
If he's effective, will it be in a different way?
Yes, he has a very different style, but I think
characterize it for us.
Well, he's definitely more soft-spoken. He is not, you know, he does not have the outsized personality of Rahm. He's a person who does work much more behind the scenes. He tries to get to consensus and move it in that manner versus probably breaking heads a little bit. But they both actually share in a tremendous commitment to sort of seeing, you know, what the president wants to accomplish and working to get it done. Pete has little House experience. He has tremendous Senate experience. He knows pretty much the entire Senate himself on a first-name basis. And so he probably has a little bit more appreciation of what it takes to move issues in the Senate. But they both understand Congress, and I think that's something that they share well.
Two more ads, help wanted ads for the next chief of staff. Gary, on our comments page, wanted no rats leaving the USS Obama before it sinks. And Antonio, on our comments page, this is my ad, Howard Dean, we need you. So we leave it there. You can post yours, see what others are putting up for help wanted ads for the next President Obama chief of staff at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. And we thank Neera Tanden, chief operating officer at the Center for American Progress, the progressive think tank started by former Clinton chief of staff John Podesta. And as you heard, she has worked closely with Rahm Emanuel on the health care bill and other things. Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Israel's best-known novelist, David Grossman.